How many people are hungry in here today? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Fred's really hungry. What are you guys hungry for? God. How about Fig Newtons? Let's settle for Fig Newtons. What the heck? Well, let me, do we really? Let me ask you this. I mean, just really, is there anybody in here who like really just loves Fig Newtons? Otis. Oh, Fred. Oh, cool. Cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Hold that thought, Fred. Otis, you had your hand up first. No kidding around. You like really love Fig Newtons. Do you really? I have something for you today, brother. Come on up here. Yay. I have in my hands one fresh, just bought it at the store yesterday, Fig Newton. If I give this to you, will you eat it?
Sure.
Promise?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now, this is yours. Don't eat it yet. You can hold on to that for now. You can eat that Fig Newton that you have in your hand. Or you can have whatever is in this bag, as long as you promise, instead of eating that you'll eat this instead. Now, I can't tell you what's in this bag, my friend. It could be something good. It could be something kind of gross. I will say this. If you don't think you can eat it, you can just put your mouth around it and just clench it with your teeth for a moment. But it actually may be nothing. It may be air. So, or it could, on the other hand, be a piece of chocolate cake with like double chocolate, with chocolate icing and chocolate cake. I can't tell you what's in this bag, but let me ask you this. Do you want to eat the Fig Newton that's in your hand, or do you want to go for what's in the bag?
Take
the bag! He wants the Fig Newton. Help him. You want the Fig Newton. You have to promise to eat it. Okay. Hold on to that for now. Don't eat it yet. Who would like to have what's in the bag then? Anybody in the back row? Anybody want to have what's in this bag on the promise that you'll eat it? Stephanie, I'll tell you what. I'm glad you want it, but here's the deal. You can have whatever's in this bag as long as you promise to eat not only what's in this bag, but what's in this bag also. You just got to promise to eat it. Both bags. Do you like Fig Newtons? Would you be disappointed if I built you up to eat some Fig Newtons and you didn't get any? Probably not that. You wouldn't be crushed, but... Well, I'll tell you what. Show everybody what's in the bag. Yeah, it was whatever Missy had from the party yesterday. It was in it before. What do you got? Two Fig Newtons. Oh, Otis. Oh. What's in this bag? Another Fig Newton. Whoa. Give these guys a big hand. Weren't they great? All yours, sweetheart. CJ, watch her flank. Otis, would you have been disappointed if I had gotten you all pumped up to eat some Fig Newtons and just took it all away? What if you'd have taken the bag and there wouldn't be anything in there? Would that be disappointing?
Absolutely.
That's right. And the brother won't talk with food in his mouth. God bless him. Your mother raised you right. But you would be disappointed. Yeah. Don't you hate it when you get all pumped up for something, you can just taste it in your mouth, and when you go for it, it's just nothing there? Happens a lot in your house. You put it in the fridge. You almost wrote your name on it, but you figured people would respect it. It's yours. You're the only one who ever eats it. And then one day you wake up and you have just got to have that thing. You go to the fridge. You can't wait. You're drooling. It's so good. And you open it up and guess what?
Gone.
It's gone. Don't you hate when that happens? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it happens a lot when you have kids. Or if you're married or, you know, have mice. Don't worry, you're not alone. Even Jesus was not immune from that kind of an experience. And we're going to find out about that today. In fact, we're going to learn a lesson from the fig tree today. We're going to talk a little bit about figs. We're going to learn something about figs. And we're going to learn something also about the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise God. Well, we're just going to dive right into Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 12. We're continuing our study of the Gospel of Mark. Hopefully, we'll wind this up right around Easter time. We'll have to, or we'll make it happen one way or the other. But we want to dive right in today and find out what it is we can actually learn from the fig tree. Fascinating stuff, man. Mark chapter 11, we're going to put it right up on the screen, starting at verse 12. And I still need to get some blue ink for my printer. Anyway. And it says, "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Now, there's another section in there that talks about the cleansing of the temple, but you go down to verse 20 in that same chapter, and there's sort of a sequel to this, and it says, "Now in the morning," the next day, "in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." I knew John's hand was going to go up. I knew there was fire in his bones when we were reading that passage. I was thinking of you as I was coming down the list. Go ahead, John. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Let's get real honest here for a second, okay? This kind of a passage makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Has anybody ever read this passage, those words, and just felt not quite at home with what was said there? Anybody? Feel free, raise your hand. Okay. Good, so I'm not alone. The words just don't fit in a nice little box. They kind of go against a lot of our presuppositions and the way we think about a lot of things on a number of different levels. This is not a very comfortable passage to either read or to preach about. This is a little out of the box, amen? Charlie. How about that? Wow. What's up there or what I just said? Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, really, when you think about it, a couple of different reasons here. I mean, this can kind of rattle your cage a little bit. Jesus, number one, right out the box, Jesus curses the fig tree and it dies. Meek, mild Jesus, you know, fairest of 10,000, curses the fig tree, and the next day it's dead, dried up from the roots. Man, because it didn't have fruit on it. Not only that, but the promises that he makes here, that whatever we ask, he says whatever you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. I mean, that smacks of absolute power. You read that, and you know, some little voice in the back of your mind says, only God has that kind of power. I mean, literally, whatever. I mean, imagine, you know, whatever you ask, believe that you're receiving, you'll have those things. And that's just a little bit out of the box. Even though we want to say, praise God, you know, bless the reading of His Word. And yes, we accept this as the verbally inspired plenary Word of God in the original manuscripts. Amen. And we do, and we ought to. Which just makes, you know, which means that when we read stuff like this, we're like, well, what do I do with that? And it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. Well, guess what? I'm not really inclined to take away any of that discomfort today. We're just going to be a little uncomfortable with this passage. And that's okay. It's okay when it's a little bit out of our box. It's okay because His ways are not our ways. And His thoughts are not our thoughts. And He is beyond searching out. We will spend all of eternity searching the unfathomable riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of our God. And when He invades us with His Word and puts to us a passage like this, it just makes us a little uncomfortable. And that's okay because it's the Word of the living God. It's supposed to rock our world. Whose Word do you think we're reading here? Some Bible scholar from the Dark Ages? This is the Word of the living God. The Word says that we're supposed to tremble at His Word. How many people are ready to tremble today? Put your hand down. Yeah, man. Amen. Does it not say that we are to tremble? Does not God delight in those who tremble at His Word? That means the Word doesn't come up and just kind of, you know, rub your hair and tell you nice little flattery things. That means sometimes the Word comes up like a tractor trailer on a highway and blows by you, and the wind of the weight of what has gone by knocks you flat on your butt. We are to tremble at His Word. It's okay if this rocks our world a little bit. It's the Word of God. So with all the love in my heart, and I do love you guys, man, I'm not inclined to take any of the discomfort away from this. In fact, we are going to glean something rich and wonderful and beautiful out of the very thing that shakes us up about this. This is the God-breathed Word. It comes from the very Spirit of God. Man, it ought to shake us up. I don't want to go to a church where it doesn't shake you up a little bit. This is not the planning meeting of the ladies' auxiliary for the craft fair. This is the church of the living God. This is God's ecclesia, His called out, ruling, governing, citizen state of believers in Jesus Christ. Something ought to happen up in this place when we get together. Praise God. We're the church of the living God, Mount Zion. Innumerable angels, the spirits of just men made perfect. Get me started. And the revelation of the Word of God can be sometimes just so staggering that it makes us uncomfortable. But let me say this, on the other hand, at the same time, I believe with all my heart that Jesus wants us to be encouraged by these words. Do you believe that? I really, and just very simply, you know, without preaching or anything, I'm just saying, you know, my heart to your heart. I really believe Jesus genuinely wants you to be encouraged by these words.